This is CBS Eye on the World with Malcolm Holmlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. We're very pleased to welcome David Shanker of the Washington Institute, Director of the Program on Arab Politics, just back from overseas, from Saudi Arabia, but writing about the summit, the Arab League summit in Algeria. David, before we head to Saudi Arabia with you, what is a summary of what was achieved in the Algeria meeting for the Arab summit, a critical time given the war in Europe? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Malcolm. Nothing was accomplished. This was a big dud. It was supposed to be a summit. They haven't had an Arab League summit since before the start of COVID. Very few, if any, Arab leaders showed up. Sisi wasn't there. The Moroccan king wasn't there. Mohammed bin Salman from Saudi Arabia wasn't there. MBZ from the UAE was not there. So you had a whole bunch of foreign ministers. These summits, more often than not, are characterized more by division than by unity. And there's no consensus on anything. So it doesn't really, these things oftentimes don't matter greatly, but this one really produced very little.
Malcolm?
So we see that the attendance was poor, the coverage was minimal. Was there anything that came out of it that you would regard as a positive step? Did we see what the Arab League perspective on Israel? I know they obviously come out with a performance statement on the Palestinians, but did it in any way help Algeria restore its status? And did it in any way see the divisions being, any of the divisions in the Arab League being healed?
Well, listen, I think Algeria had high hopes. They haven't hosted one in a while. They're doing better domestically. They had some protests last year before. They have a new leadership, and they are more important than they were internationally because they have oil and gas that is going to Europe, and they're potentially going to join the BRICS group. That's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. They were hoping to sort of parlay this. They've done a lot of work with trying to get Palestinian factions together, this sort of fractious political entity of the diverse Palestinian groups, Fatah and all the opposition, the Islamists and others. And nothing really came out of the summit. You did, as you mentioned, get the pro forma statement on the Palestinians, a reaffirmation of the Arab peace plan, which is, nothing new there. And then you also had all these states essentially support OPEC Plus's decision to cut 2 million barrels. But beyond that, I don't think you got much. You have huge divisions between Morocco and Algeria on the Western Sahara. You've got other divisions on Libya that's sort of cut across the Arab world. You've got Egypt all bent out of shape with Ethiopia and the great Ethiopian Renaissance Dam. They're worried about the flow of the Nile. None of these issues are really worked out. You also got a critique about external interference in the Arab world by Turkey and Iran, but nothing much more. There's no headlines to report, and I'm not going to be writing any policy papers about it.
David, OPEC Plus, much in the news because of objections by the Biden administration to do with the price of oil, the price of gasoline. However, at the same time, it is a fact, I believe, that all of the Middle East, certainly all of the Arab Peninsula, the Persian Gulf, have remained neutral in the Ukraine conflict. I believe that's true. Have not condemned Russia, have not sanctioned Russia. So there really is no surprise here. Is Saudi Arabia leading what could be called the non-aligned movement of this new war in Europe?
Well, I don't know about the non-aligned movement. I mean, to put it in context, I mean, Saudi Arabia has mediated and gotten out prisoners of war of Ukraine. They've made a huge humanitarian commitment to Ukraine as well. But the crowning diplomatic achievement of Mohammed bin Salman in the past, I don't know, 5-6 years has been OPEC Plus, which is OPEC Plus plus Russia, to have more stability in energy markets. And the Saudis would argue that there's decreased demand and that if you want to have price stability over time, that Saudi Arabia should have excess capacity remaining. and that the prices should be, you know, above $70-$80 a barrel. And so they say this wasn't, you know, a punishment for the United States or an intent to reward Russia. They say, after all, Russia is aligned with Iran, their arch enemy. Why would we be trying to help Russia? But of course, the Biden administration has spent the last 2 years until the visit last month of President Biden to Saudi Arabia, or 3 months ago, they spent the last 2 years basically calling Mohammed bin Salman, the guy who's going to be the next king of Saudi Arabia for the next 40 years, calling him a pariah, saying there's no socially redeeming value in Saudi Arabia, downplaying the importance of the bilateral relationship. And then it came to a pinch, and they asked a big favor of Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia said, no, not surprisingly, we're not going to break OPEC Plus, and this is an economic decision. Now, there's this infuriated the Biden administration, obviously, but it shouldn't have been a surprise. And the Saudis say that they let the Biden administration know well in advance, so it wasn't a surprise. And a lot of bad things can come of this. So at the end of the day, it's a lot of strain on the relationship, and there are many in Congress, you know, with elections close by, who are saying that we should no longer sell weapons to Saudi Arabia. We should cut off our defense relationship. I think this would just exacerbate what is a very tense time, the bilateral relationship with an important partner.
Malcolm.
Can you just assess quickly the impact of the U.S.-Israel relationship, the U.S.-Saudi relationship as you saw it played out at the conference? I noticed there were a lot of businessmen, but no diplomats or politicians from the U.S. There. So do you think that their call and the public announcements by Saudi Arabia about the threat from Iran, clearly a call to the United States, maybe Israel, is that an indication that they're looking for the future in a better relationship?
Well, first let me start. We don't have an ambassador in Saudi Arabia right now. Michael Ratney, a foreign service officer, is pending confirmation. He might not make it. In any event, he's the first ambassador designate to Saudi Arabia in 30 or 40 years who isn't a political appointee. Yet another sign that the Biden administration, you know, is sort of downgrading the bilateral relationship. So the deputy chief of mission has been nominated to be ambassador in the UAE. So the embassy is not staffed at the highest levels right now, and they're not meeting, as far as I can tell, senior Saudi officials. But the Future Investment Initiative, this so-called Davos in the Desert, the Saudis say it was the biggest ever. It attracted over 6,000 people. Jamie Dimon from J.P. Morgan was there. David Solomon from Goldman Sachs. They announced a $1.5 billion development fund and five other funds for investment in Jordan, Egypt, Sudan, Oman, and Iraq. So stuff got done there. I think the Saudis really feel a lot of grievance toward the United States about what's happened over the past 2 years, a sense that the administration is holding to a higher standard or treating poorly its partners, its long-term allies in the region, worse than it's treating its enemies, like Iran. They're aggrieved by this, but they say this is economic. I think they want to get things back on solid footing with Washington. But depending on what Congress does, if it cuts arms sales, if they pass this NOPEC law, which is, you know, sanctioning OPEC, I don't think that's going to be really productive to get things headed in the right direction again.
David Shanker is the Taub Senior Fellow at the Washington Institute, Director of the Program on Arab Politics, former Assistant Secretary of State for Near Eastern Affairs, Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,